time we'll continue on this morning with the eagle, and I'm thankful that the Lord laid this on my heart to preach this series of messages because it's been a great thing to occupy my mind. I've been studying about this week. I went to the library and got some books and things and tried to further my study. I just don't have a desire to bring you some recycled material, but I want to be a blessing. And this has been a blessing to me as I've studied it out again about the subject of the eagles. Let's read Job chapter 39 and verse number 27 through 30, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today and the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray and ask God that you'd help us today as only you can. Lord, we have a lot of things to pray about. We have sickness in the church. We have preachers out preaching from here today. We pray you'd be with each and every one of them. And Lord, what a blessing it is to not just have one, but to have several preachers out from the church. God, we pray you'd be with all of them. Lord, be with those that are sick today. Help them to get better. Be with those that are traveling. And Lord, having to be out working in this weather, Lord, we pray for them also today. But God, I pray you'd help us as we look in thy word. I pray, God, you'd make it real to us. I pray you'd make it new to us. I pray you'd make it fresh before our eyes this morning. Help us, God, to see what your will is for our lives as your children. Help us to be the Christians that we ought to be. Help us to soar above the circumstances that this world puts before us. Help us, Lord, to be able to do that because we know we're one of your children. I pray, God, you'd speak to our hearts. Help us as a church. Help us, Lord, to be what you'd have us to be and have your way just now. Lord, we pray for your help. We pray for our country today. We pray for this world, God, that you'd help. Lord, that you'd give us grace. We'll thank you for all that you do, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Those that were here last week know that I started a message on the subject of the eagle, and I called it last week an analogy between the eagle and the Christian, and an analogy is a comparison based on resemblance. Similarities, and there's similarities in God's word that we can draw out and make comparisons one thing and another thing, and I believe with all my heart that God has given us many, many analogies in his word. A better word for that might be to say a divine revelation. What I mean by that, a divine revelation, I believe this is the way God meant for us to see these things. For example, in Genesis chapter number 1, in the last verse there, the Bible says that God saw everything that he had made, and it was good. You think about that this morning, you think about the subject of creation and when God made the world and everything in it, and God looked upon every bit of it and God said, "It is good, it is very good," is what the Bible says. And then a little bit later on in the Bible says that there is none good but God. Of course, we know what happened. We know the fall. We know about sin coming into the world. But when God, who is good, and the only one that is good, when he made the world and everything in it, and he said it's good, what he was saying is, it is like me. God made man upon the earth, and we are to be we were made in his image. We're made to be like him. Revelation chapter number 19, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." God made this world. God made the universe around us in order that it all might be a reflection of him and his glory. He made it and it was good. And so in the beginning, God made everything to be a reflection of His grandeur, of His majesty, of His power. That's what God meant when He looked and He said, it's all good, every bit of it. And so we see there's a divine revelation here between the eagle and God the Father and the eagle and the Christian. I said last week there were three things about the eagle that I pointed out. First of all, her supremacy, meaning of all the birds, the eagle is the king of the birds. And I showed you from Scripture that principle. We talked about also her solitude, how the eagle lived up and soared alone and was not a bird that lived among a colony of other birds, but lived by herself. And I said, you know, that we as God's people, we need to learn to live upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and know what it means to fellowship with Him. And I pointed out also her soaring, S-O-A-R-I-N-G, how the eagle was lived under the influence of a power not her own, not by flapping its wings, but by the influence of the wind, which is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the three things I pointed out last Sunday morning. I also pointed out and talked about the majesty of the eagle, her prominent place in Scripture. I was reading last night in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 7. It's talking about the four creatures before the throne of God. And Revelation 4 and 7 said, and the four beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. So when God wants to exemplify something that is grand in the bird world, He mentions an eagle, not any other type of bird. God is the one that put the eagle in the first place among the creatures which fly. Her supremacy, her majesty, her prominent place in Scripture, mentioned 34 times. The eagle is also, I talked about how God likens Himself to an eagle in Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 4, how God said to the children of Israel, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. God likens Himself to the power of an eagle. Also in the Bible, we find that Christians are to be like an eagle. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31, the Bible talks about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. There are many different species of eagles in the world, but in the Bible, the two types of eagle that we're studying about is the golden eagle, which is a brown eagle, but it has a golden crown and lives in that area of the world, also in America and in Europe as well, and the imperial eagle, and just the two names say something about the eagle. That's the two types of eagle that lived in the land where the Bible was written many, many years ago. The imperial eagle and the golden eagle. The golden eagle has a golden crown. It can weigh as much as 30 pounds. It can have a wingspan of up to 10 feet and live up to 50 years. So we saw the first three things about the eagle. The first thing I want to point out today is her steadfastness. Look in verse number 28. The Bible says she dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. I mentioned this a little bit last week, but I'm going to point it out again in a little bit more detail. Her steadfastness is her rock, the rock upon which the eagle lives, and it's mentioned there in verse 28. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. There's rock. There's a crag, which I pointed out last week, what that would be like a tooth sticking up out of the mountain, and then the strong place, which is also a rock. If you study about the life of the eagle, you'll find out the eagle is many times born upon a rock, lives upon the rock all of its life, raises its family on the rock, and later on dies upon the rock. And there's a lot of applications could be made there between the eagle and the life of the Christian. Especially in the book of Psalms, you'll see that David refers to God as being his rock, his strong place, his hiding place, his place of making his life. The Bible said in Psalms 40 and verse number 2, David said over there, he brought me up also out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. And over there in Psalms chapter number 40 is a beautiful picture of what God does for us when he saves us. When he saves us out of a mess. He said he brought me up out of the miry clay and he set my feet upon a rock. And he's talking there about what God done for him when he saved him by his marvelous grace. And that's what the Lord does for us. When I was saved, I was born upon a rock. I'm not talking about over here in the hospital at Watauga, but I'm talking about when I was spiritually born again, I was born upon that rock which is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. The Bible said, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. He's our birthplace today. If you are born again, if you are saved by the grace of God, you have a foundation which can never be torn down or taken away. And that's the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Our spiritual birthplace, or our physical birthplace, you know, if they tore Watauga Hospital down where I was born, I'd still be here. I will die one day and they will place me in the ground if the Lord don't come before then. And I'll have a tombstone and it'll say born and died on it. And it'll have the dates of my birth and the dates of my death. But it'll never do away with the fact that I was physically born. It's a fact. But my spiritual birth is even more sound than that, because I was born upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 11, 25 and 26, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. If you've trusted Christ, you will never die. That ought to be a blessing to you this morning. Oh, we will die physically speaking, but we'll never perish. Our existence will never cease to exist, because we're born upon a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our strong place. He's our hiding place today. He's where our life is, or what our life is based upon. We sing that old song, The Rock of Ages. I'm glad today I have got more than religion. You can lose your religion, by the way. A lot of people do lose their religion. But you can't lose your relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he. He'll never die. You cannot lose. You can lose your religion. I'm glad my hope is not in the Pope or in a church today or in baptismal waters or in tithing or being a good person. That's not what my hope is. You can lose all those things, but you cannot lose your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When David set my feet upon a rock and he said he hath established my goings, we have a firm foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a steadfast rock in him which can never be taken away. The eagle, and we'll study this a little bit later on, but the eagle comes back to the same place every year. He lives in the same place. They have a nest and they'll live their whole lives in that nest on that rock. Therefore, it raises its young there. It lives there. It dies there. If it can get back to the rock, it'll die upon the rock. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24, a wise man which built his house upon a rock. It's more than the place where the eagle lives. It's a place that is a place of safety to the eagle. If the eagle's in trouble, it'll go to the rock. If the eagle is sick, it'll go to the rock. It's its place of territory. It's a place where he eats his meals. It's a place where he fellowships with his family. It's a place of security to the eagle. And that's how the Lord Jesus is to us. Psalm 61 and 2 said, "From the end of this earth," or "from the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Where do you go to when trouble comes in your life? Where do you flee to when sickness comes in your life? And where nobody else has got the answers, you better flee to the rock that's higher than you are. I'm thankful today that we have a source of strength that is beyond our strength. Because sometimes I'm just not strong enough. Oh, it's easy when you're healthy and young and everything's going good and all like that to do like I've even said before, and some preachers, you know, "Oh boy, I feel so good. I could swing out over hell on a wet noodle and all this bunch of stuff." You know, that all sounds good, but I'll tell you, when you got a toothache, it can change the way you feel, spiritually speaking. I'm glad that my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's more than how I feel. Sometimes I don't feel too invincible, you know that. Sometimes I don't feel too strong. Sometimes I don't feel like I ought to feel, but I'm glad that does not change with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter if I'm sick and laying down, I'm still on the rock. He doesn't change. He's not sick. He's a place I can go to. He's a place I can raise my family at. He's a place I can go when I'm sick and when I'm in trouble and when I don't feel good. And I can raise my family there. I can live there. I can die there. He's good enough and big enough for all those things. When I think about that, the psalmist said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than thy." And it's a good study. We could take time this morning, if you think about it in the Bible, all the different people in the Bible that were called to come up higher. That's a common theme through the Scripture, that God deals with His people on a rock. I'll mention just a few of them. Abraham was called up on Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac. Moses was called up to Mount Sinai when he was given the law. Joshua built an altar on Mount Ebal. Elijah on Mount Carmel. Jesus preached, he prayed, he was tempted, he was transfigured, he was crucified on a mountain, and on and on and on we could go this morning. What I get from that is, like the Apostle Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." No matter where you are, who you are today, God's calling you to come up higher. Not down lower where the chickens and the vultures and the turkeys are. God's saying, come up higher. He's calling us to a higher plane. We have a higher calling. We have a higher place. Somebody told me one time, they said, "Preacher, you know so much about government and how it ought to be and things along those lines. Said, you ought to run for something." I would take that. I'd have to take a demotion. I got a higher calling. If I was to have the opportunity to be the president of the United States, I'd have to step down. I've got a higher calling. That's to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Oh, preacher, in my life, I don't feel like I'm doing anything worth anything. I don't feel like my life is counting for anything." Well, you need to find your life and get your life in the realm of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and do what you can for Him, and you'll find your life's got a higher calling. There's more to getting out here and breaking your neck to get enough money to pay your taxes to a bunch of people that's just going to go and waste it. There's a higher call. And every child of God has got a higher calling upon their life. Say, "Preacher, what am I supposed to do?" You're supposed to be witnesses unto Him. in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And you know what that is? That's wherever you find yourself in any time of the day or week. We've got a higher calling. That's to serve Him and live for Him and find His will for our lives so that our lives will bear fruit and have importance in this life. You can waste your life, or you can find God's will for your life and you can be worth something in the sight of God. You're worth something, but I mean used in His service for His work, for His will. Her steadfastness is the rock. Our rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, and His life is greater than our life. But there's her steadfastness. I'm just going to show you two things today. Second of all, in this verse of Scripture, verse number 29 talks about her sight. The sight of an eagle is an amazing thing. Verse 29 says, from thence, talking about way up high on that rock, from thence she seeketh the prey. Her eyes behold afar off. Now the Bible tells us a great deal right there in that one verse about the sight of the eagle. It says there, from thence she seeketh the prey. The golden eagle, the imperial eagle, will find the highest rock, the crag of the rock, the highest point that she can. That will be her home and his home, and they will live as a pair together all the days of their life, and they will hunt from that high spot. I read something, and it's hard for me to believe it when I read it, and so I began to search again, and I found it two different places. Now an eagle can see a rabbit 2 miles away. That's a long ways. I was looking out the window this morning, and I can probably see a deer 300 yards away. That's about 1,000 feet, or not, a little bit short of that. It's estimated, and I don't know that there's really any solid way to tell, but it's estimated that an eagle can see 8 times better than a human can. So if I can see a deer at a 1,000 feet away, what I'm studying about, an eagle can see the same thing I can see, but it can be 8,000 feet away. I mean, it's just amazing. And I was reading and studying about that an eagle, the eyeball of an eagle in relation to its head, has a huge eye. It's the same concept as a pair of binoculars or a spotting scope or a telescope. The bigger the lens, the better you can see. And that's the way an eagle is. Its eyeball in relation to its head. Now, I didn't do this for the adults, but I done it for the young people. That means if our eye was as big as an eagle's eye, we'd all look like this. I see you. And your eyeball, if your eyeball in relation to your head was as big as an eagle's eyeball is in relation to its head, your eyeball would weigh a couple of pounds apiece. You'd have huge, huge eyeballs. Now, I'm thankful I can just see what I can see, aren't you? But an eagle, in relation to its head, has a huge eyeball and can see a rabbit 2 miles away. And the rabbit is probably in a briar bush down in the grass on the ground. And the eagle that is either perched somewhere or flying in the air can see that far away. The eagle has binocular and monocular vision. And what that means is that eagle up there in the sky has got eyes on both sides of its head. And that means if it's a monocular vision, that means, and I can't do this and neither can you, but it could look out of its right eye and focus and see something way over there because its eyes are more on the side of its head. Or if it wants to use its binocular vision, it could look like this and make both of its eyes focus on a rabbit 2 miles away. or a snake 8,000 feet away as it flies up in the air. It is amazing what God has made. Some of these books I've read about the eagle, it talks about how they evolved. You tell me how that evolved. Over billions of years and all this bunch of stuff. God made the eagle that way. Just a few things about her sight this morning. The eagle has the ability, the Bible says here in verse number 29, to see afar off. It can see a long ways away. Verse 29 says she sees afar off, seeing what other birds cannot see, seeing what other creatures cannot see, seeing what you and I cannot see with the naked eye. That reminds me this morning of the thing in the Christian's life called faith. God gives us faith as His children. And through faith, I can see things that the naked eye cannot see. Through faith this morning, you can see things that others cannot see. There are things that God calls the Christian to do that the world does not understand. I went this week down on Friday down to Asheville, down to Anchor Baptist Missions, where Brother Dwayne Whittemore, where he serves out of. And they're having a special meeting this week, and they had missionaries all up and down the through the aisles there and different places. And you look at that and you think of these young families. Read of one missionary, he's talking about getting ready to go to the field, and he said the time had come to give up his pets. He had two animals, two dogs, and talking about how it was hard on his children, but the decision, the time has come. The world doesn't understand things like that. The world doesn't understand a mom and a daddy and children leaving the comforts of America and many times a good job and going to a foreign country where it's dangerous and where the standard of living is far below what we stand. The world doesn't understand that. But I'll tell you, that's something you do by faith, not by common sense, not by what mama wants, not by what daddy wants. Faith. Four times the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. I think about many, many times. I'm glad I did not listen to that Air Force recruiter when he told me there was no jobs, that I needed to stay in the Air Force, but I told him God had called me to preach. I'd love to meet him again. Tell him God's taken very good care of me and my family down through the years by faith. Faith can see things that others cannot see. Four times the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Say, preacher, I don't know about living by faith. Will you just hang around? I believe God's getting ready to teach us some things about living by faith. As the world continues to crumble all round about us and things become more and more uncertain and more people's pocketbooks, people's checking accounts dwindle away and they don't have what they had once upon a time, God may just let us learn the grace of living by faith. Don't worry. You say, preacher, I can't see it. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't worry, God does. God's not worried. The eagle has the ability to see afar off. And through faith, you and I today can serve Him, trust Him, lay down on our bed at night and say, you know what, no matter what, it's going to be all right. Because God can see. And I've got my eye on Him, not on the world. The ability to see afar off. Second of all, the ability to see in many different hues and colors. The eagle, and since the last time I preached on this, there is a better way to explain than there was before what it means that the eagle can see in many different hues and colors. First time I preached this, there, as far as I know, there was no such thing as HD TV. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've seen, not everybody knows, but some of you have seen those new televisions and what they call HD TV. And it's not just how big they are. but it's how vibrant the colors are. If you look at an old television, and what I remember years ago trying to watch golf on television, you could never see the ball. You know, you just, isn't that funny? They hit the ball and the camera goes through the air, but nobody can see the ball. But you see the pan through the air. And then you see maybe on the green, you can't even see the ball on the green. Now you can read the letters on the ball as it flies through the air. You see it a whole lot better. And that's how an eagle is. An eagle can see a whole lot better. Where we see, you might look at my tie and say it's got so many different colors. When an eagle looks in a briar patch and sees a rabbit, it sees the color of the rabbit and all the colors on the rabbit. Doesn't just see the brown, it sees all the different, and it can pick that out. See so much better than you and I can see, the ability to see in many different hues and colors. When I think about that this morning, I think about the spiritual gift of discernment that God gives to His children. It's like one preacher said, he said, when I read the Bible, I not only read the lines, but I can see in between the lines. I can see what's going on. Not just in the Bible, I can see what's going on in the world. As a child of God, I think it was last Wednesday night I was talking about in the lesson, or maybe the Wednesday night before that, talking about the ability as God's children to see the big picture, not just what's on the news, not just what's in the newspaper, but the ability to see the big picture. The ability to see what God's doing. The ability to see. Some people would go up here to Grandfather Mountain and they'd look off and they would say, that is a beautiful picture. But when I go to Grandfather Mountain and I look off, I see not only a beautiful scene, if you can go up there where there's a day where it's not cloudy, but I also see the hand of God. See, I see a little bit more than the average person sees. And if you're saved by the grace of God and you see things as the scripture this morning, you see things that others just simply do not see and recognize. 2 Peter 1:9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. A spiritual Christian can enjoy life so much more than the person that's not saved, or than a saved person that's carnal, because we see the hand of God. We don't just see people, but we see human nature and what the Word of God says about it. We see the work of Adam in people, and their need is not just, they're bad, but they're sinners and need Christ. It's a little bit more than just a bad person, good person. Person that needs Jesus Christ in their life, the ability to discern that. It's not just bad news on the TV, but it's news that I see happening in God's Word each and every day. The ability to see these things, when Matthew 24:6 talks about there shall be wars and rumors of wars. You know what? I see that happening in the world today. It's not just words in a book on a page, but it is words in God's book, and it's describing what's happening in the world today. The ability to see many different hues and colors, to see deeper than just the first layer. But what is going on in the world? What is going on in my life? Do you ever recognize the hand of God in your life? God will help you to see that. I don't believe I'm just going through life and what happens is accident. What happens, God allows to happen. Where it happens, God allows it to happen. Be able to see God's hand in your life, and on we could go this morning. The eagle, as I've already said, has binocular and monocular vision, which you and I do not have. Try to look at one thing with what we're right eyeing another thing and separate the two. You can't. You have binocular vision. If you want monocular vision, you'll have to close one of your eyes. That's the only way you can do it. You can't make your right eye go to the right and your left eye go to the left. If you can, you're odd. Most people can't do that and focus. But the eagle can do both. I'm thankful today God has given us the ability as His children to not only live in this world and function in this world, but also to have our eyes on His world and what He wants. What I mean by that, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We're to live with our sight on Him. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 13, He said, occupy till I come. That means that we are to live and function in this life. And you still have to go about, and you still have to work, and you have to raise your family, and you have to cut wood and store up for the winter. You have to do all the things that is involved with living in this world. And then have your eye on Christ as well. And weave those two things together. Sometimes it's, you say, preacher, how do you do that? Well, only way I can explain it this morning is be saved by the grace of God and get your life in His Word and living for Him and taking care of the necessary. You can do it. I don't know if I can even explain how to do it, but you can do it. Live for Him. Live in this world all at the same time. God doesn't want us to be, how's that saying goes, so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, or so earthly minded that we are no heavenly good. There has to be a weaving together of the two situations there. Also, the eagle has a unique ability. The eagle has actually two sets of eyelids. And the eagle has the ability to look directly into the sun. Now, you and I don't have that ability. If you look directly into the sun, it'll temporarily blind you. And I guess if you've done it long enough, it blinds you. I don't know. I don't know of anybody that's tried that out. But the eagle, for you young people, it has a really cool set of built-in sunglasses. And it can roll them eyelids down. And if it is being chased by an enemy, a crow or a hawk or something like that, it can do something they can't do. It can fly directly into the sun. And the other birds can't do that because they can't look at the sun. They couldn't follow the eagle right into the sun. It'd blind them and they have to turn away. But the eagle can fly directly into the sunlight and gaze directly at the sun, and it does not bother it. It has two sets of eyelids, and it can pull down that second set and fly directly into the glare of the sun when it's attacked by others. Now, when somebody attacks you, if you live around long enough, you're going to be attacked. If you live for God, you're going to be attacked sooner or later. Noah and I were doing the broadcast on Thursday. He was helping me. And I'm using the message this coming week of it's time to wise up to Satan. And we were listening to that again and putting it on, getting it ready to send to the radio station to be used next week. And I was listening to the message again. And in the message, I don't have anything good to say about the devil. Preach that message, it's time to wise up to Satan. I don't know if I can remember all of it, but I said some of the things. I said, he's sneaky. He's an accuser. I mean, all of these things. And I was listening to part of it, and I told Noah, I said, no wonder I'm having troubles this week. I said, the devil's probably mad about that. But you know what? There's somewhere I can go when I'm attacked that the devil can't come. The psalmist said, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I'm glad I can go to the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I'm glad I can go to Him. And because of His blood, I can get right in His presence and be sheltered under the shadow of His wings. There's a place when you can go when the enemy's after you. There's a place that you can go that when the devil's trying to get at you and attack you, for those that are hateful and jealous and all of these things, there's a place that we can go as God's children that the world cannot go. The eagle can fly directly into the sun. I'm glad we as God's people can go directly into the Lord's presence. Number five, listen to this. The eagle is not born with great vision, but it acquires it as it gets older. The eagle is not born with great vision, but its vision gets better the older that it gets. Now that is the direct opposite of us. Most of the time, the older we get, the worse our vision gets. The eagle, the older it gets, the better its vision gets. Now we can't make a natural application there because it breaks down, but we can make a spiritual application. The older you get, the wiser you ought to be. As you go through this life and experience sometimes as a hard teacher, and I've read and read and read the Bible many, many places and years, I'll see something and say, boy, I've never seen that before. We ought to be getting wiser as we get older. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was talking about an older preacher and talking about going to a funeral, and it was a hard situation he was preaching in. And the gentleman I was talking to, he said about that preacher preaching, he said, I seen wisdom on display. I thought to myself, boy, I covet that. I'd like to be wise. I'd like to be somebody that when people have trouble, they can come to and they would realize that we're not getting weaker as we grow older, but we're getting stronger in the Lord. We ought to be getting wiser. We ought to be able to see more clearly than we ever have before. I'm talking about the world and things that's going on and relationships and church and family and on and on and on. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, he said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. When I was younger, I seen things different than I do now, and I'm not old. By any means, I'm not old. I'm 41. But when I was younger, I seen things different than I do now. When you're younger, and it's good to be enthusiastic. And I think I still am enthusiastic, but I'll just shorten it up and say it like this. I'd just soon the Lord come today as to live 20 more years. I see things differently than I used to. Best thing that could happen today would be the Lord Jesus Christ to come. That land over there looks a whole lot better to me than this land over here. And what I see over there, oh, it far outweighs anything that's over here or that could happen. I still have dreams. I want to see things in this life, but I'll tell you, I'd rather see the Lord come. I'd like to see Him. I want to see Him. Our vision gets greater as we get older. It ought to. And last of all today, and this is very interesting about the eagle, and there's other birds also that have this ability, but the eagle has a built-in, how do I put this where the young people can understand it? What's them things in your cars? A GPS. Global Positioning System. That's what that is. And phones have it, cars have it. You can get in your car and you don't know where you are and you don't know where you need to go. But if you punch it in that GPS, it'll tell you where to go. And when you get somewhere and you want to go home, you can mash a button that says home and it'll tell you how to get home. That's amazing. Boy, whoever come up with that was smart. I'll tell you who come up with that. God come up with that. The eagle has a built-in global positioning system that will always be able to lead him back home. And it's based upon, and I don't know all the scientific terms for it, but the lymph nodes and the, I read about some of these things in its eyes, pectins, electrolytes, lymph tubes, and it is all in relation to the magnetic pull of the North Pole. And if you get a GPS in your car, what you're going to have to find out first of all is you're going to have to program your GPS in relation to where you are in the country, because it needs to know where you are in relation to the North Pole. But wherever that eagle is born, at first the intricacies of its eyes is very soft. But as it grows, it becomes used to where it's at, and it becomes harder, and it becomes zoned into that area of the world. And if it ever goes away from where it was born and raised, as long as it's away, it'll feel a pressure and a little bit of pain. And that's because it's not where it's supposed to be. But the closer it gets back to home, it relieves that pressure. Some of the eagles, some of the bald eagles, in the summertime, they live in Alaska. In the wintertime, they'll go all the way down to Mexico, as far away as that. But they can always make their way back to the nest. That's God. You say, preacher, how does that apply to us? If you're one of God's children, if you are truly saved and you get out of God's will, you get out of where you're supposed to be, you will never be satisfied. You will never be happy. You will never have peace in your life until you get back where you're supposed to be. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, I'm thankful for that. There's been some times in my younger life where I got away from where I was supposed to be. And you know how I know I'm one of His? He never left me alone till I got back where I needed to be. There was a pressure. There was a pain. There was a tug. There was something in my life that was pointing to me and telling me. I'll tell you, I went to church one time in England. And I think I've told you about this. It was a big church. Big old Baptist church right up the street from where I lived. And Kim wasn't there yet. And I knew I was in a mess and I needed to be in church. I knew that much. I didn't know what I know now, but I knew I needed to be in church. And I went up to that church on a Sunday morning. I didn't know a soul. I bet I stuck out like a sore thumb. But I remember sitting there in that church and the Holy Spirit of God squeezing on my heart. I mean, it was deader than 4 o'clock. However dead that is, I don't know. I didn't get nothing out of the preaching. I didn't get nothing out of the singing. I didn't get nothing out of the fellowship. I didn't know anybody, but God met with me. And He just tore me all to pieces. And I remember I couldn't wait to get out and get home. And I went home bald like a baby. That's God working on my heart. I was a long ways from home. He knew where I was. Until I got back where I needed to be, He just kept working on me and working on me. I'm very thankful for that. I don't want to ever get to the place in my life where I can't feel God working on me when I'm where I don't need to be. The eagle has a built-in gyroscope, a built-in GPS system, where he can always get back home. And I tell you this morning, if you're here and you're saved by the grace of God and your peace is gone and your happiness is gone out of your life, you know where you need to be. You need to get back there. You can get back there. I think about the prodigal son and all that he went through, and one day he got up out of his bed, and the Bible says that he came to himself. I'm glad for that day in my life. I came to myself and got back where I needed to be. The sight of the eagle and the steadfastness of the eagle. I hope you can see the rock this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you need to be. That's where we need to be. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.